The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
Eklund with a shot. He scores! William Eklund caps an astounding comeback. The Sharks win it!
You're listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide. Morning Tide.
Tyler Toffoli on a brilliant feed from William Eklund. Macklin Severini, his first National Hockey League hat trick. Smith shoots. Score! Will Smith just tied the game!
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
Crosby's by himself against three Sharks there in the corner. Works it loose, Sharks have it. And they give it to Colin Graf, and Graf will cycle backwards as the Sharks need a change. Celebrini wants that headman pass. On the right wing side, it's Klingberg, crisscrossing with Celebrini. Nice move by Klingberg, moving in, back for Macklin. Back to Klingberg, shot, score! John Klingberg from Macklin Celebrini. The entire Sharks bench empties as the Sharks roar back from a 5-1 deficit. And John Klingberg wins it in overtime, 6-5.
Yeah, I mean, we all love Klingin. Obviously, he's finding his game. He hasn't played a lot of hockey the last couple of years with all the injuries that he's dealt with. And I mean, that's the nature of it. You're going to get kind of ripped on. But, I mean, he's just done a great job of kind of finding it. And, I mean, he's been unbelievable for us the last couple of games. And his production and stuff that he doesn't even get credit for.
Good morning, everyone. It is Sunday, December 14th. The San Jose Sharks are 16-14-3, 35 points on the year. They occupy the second wild card spot. They are 1 point back of Edmonton. And I would say that a game like yesterday is entirely unbelievable. But if anything we've learned this year from the San Jose Sharks is that it should be relatively believable because they have proved through 33 games this year that they have the ability to win any game at any time, at any moment. Of course, you could juxtapose that by saying that in the first couple games of the year, they were capable of losing any game at any moment. But we've talked a lot over the past few years about how the pendulum should swing, and it never did. Well, there's a hardcore correction going on right now for San Jose, where games that got away from them in years past, they're now finding ways to win. Games that they inexplicably lost, they are now, I don't know if inexplicably winning is the right word, but they're able to fight their way back into these games and get the points and get the hard work rewarded that didn't happen in seasons past. And you just got to look at Macklin Celebrini specifically. He is the future captain of this team. He's the superstar. He has 3 points yesterday, has a point on all three of the final goals in the game. He's in again on a game-winning assist on an overtime goal. He does everything, and doubting him is dangerous. John Klingberg has had a massive correction in his year. He's correcting from some bad play, and the coaches told him what they wanted to see out of him. He's suddenly been a rock for them, and everyone is just stepping up to the moment when the moment presents itself for San Jose. That's the difference. You know, at the critical moments a year ago, they would have one guy step up, but it wouldn't be enough. This year, everyone is stepping up. And the only bad part about yesterday's game are the injuries suffered by Will Smith and Phil Kuryshev, because specifically Smith's looked like it might have him out for a while. And I, you know, I'm just guessing there's some sort of shoulder separation, something like that. That's what it looked like to me, the way he was holding his arm going off. I'm thinking, you know, 4 to 6 weeks. Kuryshev didn't look as bad. That's easy for me to say because I wasn't the one experiencing it, but I'm just going off what I saw. So we'll wait to find out more. We don't have information on that yet. The Sharks just keep on blowing us all away. I talked about this yesterday with Alan Hoshida after the NBC show. So we're going to give you our thoughts for the majority of the show today, but I did want to give you a couple of Ryan Warsowski cuts after yesterday's incredible comeback win.
Yeah, I didn't really think we were playing that bad. I mean, they scored a couple goals in the power play. We had some really good looks early in the first period. They scored on their chances. We didn't score on ours. Their power play is the best in the league. So, you know, we give them a couple of chances in the power play. The shot volume goes up. Ice tilts a little bit. You know, the message was really just we got to move pucks a little bit quicker coming out of our own end, and then we're not going to give up. They're right. It's right there for us. If we play the right way, we'll get some looks. We talked about, you know, getting one early in that third period, and you know, you know exactly how we drew it up. But credit to that group in there. They were extremely resilient. tough road trip to finish that road trip like this in that type of game, that is impressive.
You love to have Warsawski have these opportunities to be proud of his team because he went through so much last year. And I think of these first six games this year, everybody was doubting him. And now he's able to show, look, when we put it together, when we play our brand of hockey, we can do anything. And having been in the dressing room after losses and wins and around these guys and gotten to know them, I think they 100% believe that. Let's get another talking point from Macklin before I get to you to the chat that Alan and I did.
I mean, I think we had chances all game. Obviously, their power play is the best in the league, and they have something special going over there. But I think we just did a great job just kind of staying with it, playing as a team, kind of playing up and down our lineup, even when we kind of got those injuries. And those are a group effort.
The man is talking like a captain in the NHL, playing like one as well. All right, I spoke with Alan Hoshida after yesterday's game. We had a lot to go over. Let's get into that now. All right, here with Alan Hoshida, the host of NBC Sports California Sharks pre- and post-game live. You call it post-overtime live for these San Jose Sharks, man.
That's right.
This is the great contrast compared to a year ago, is they keep on finding ways to win games, whereas a year ago, it was the exact opposite. They were finding ways to lose games. And I think, if anything, before we get into the absolute absurdity of what we just saw, that's my main takeaway right now. Seven overtime wins, one of the an eighth, which was a shootout win. Yep. They had a couple of overtime losses to start the year, but now it just feels like if they give themselves a chance, whether it's down by one goal, two goals, four goals, I mean, they can find ways to win.
I think that's the key, right? Like you can look at the metrics and everyone around the league who doesn't watch this team on a nightly basis, if you listen to the chatter, it's like, oh, the Sharks are going to come back to earth because their numbers, their 5-on-5 metrics, they're just not great. Okay, but how do you quantify learning to win and knowing how to push yourself and give yourself a chance to win and then winning? That's where the metrics and the overall emotion and heart things, those where those conflict. And so, yeah, when you look around the league and you look at the numbers, it's not great for the San Jose Sharks. Nothing looks spectacular, but they just win games. And right now, they are up to 16 wins, Ted Ramey. That is four away from the 20 they had last season, three away from the 19 they had 2 years ago. And I'm starting to really believe that this team is going to be at least competitive and in the wild card conversation for an extended period of time, because we went back to November. We said, okay, November's only as good as your December. And now this December is shaping up to be a quality December. Is it going to be November? We don't know yet, but it's a solid December to start.
What's really wild to me is that first road trip, they went 2-2. That's where they got their first two wins of the year. Both of those were overtime. The next extended road trip, they went 1-2. And then you can kind of see the evolution of the team is that now they found a way to win 3 out of 5 on this one. It's like we've seen them play very well at home. I don't think that's surprising. You're supposed to win at home. But now that they're starting to be able to take points out of these road trips, yeah, to get big wins on the road, and to where you look at their three extended road trips, 4 games, 3 games, and 5 games, 12, 6 wins, 6 losses, that kind of vibes with the overall 500 nature of this team right now. That's nothing to sneeze at. I mean, I know it's not overwhelmingly good, but as you just alluded to, when you were only winning 20 games last year, 19 games 2 years ago, it's a huge step in the right direction.
Well, and you said, you should expect them to win at home. Yeah, we should, but they weren't even doing that for the last couple of seasons. So now they're doing that. They're taking care of business at home. And then the thing is, if you could play about 500 hockey on the road, maybe one or two games over 500 on the road, that's a good formula. That's a formula that is going to keep you competitive. And right now, the San Jose Sharks are right there with that overall formula for the season. And we're into middle of December now, and we're getting closer and inching closer to Christmas. These aren't just 5 games here. These aren't just stretches. This seems like this is an extended period where they are getting results. They're getting points. I think it's, you know, refreshing to hear the guys, oh man, we got a point here. Even pregame, John Klingberg said, if we get 5 points on this road trip out of 10, that's good. They got 6. And so guys are talking about points, and, you know, we can say, oh, it's too early to look at the standings, this or that. But if the guys aren't, and the guys are believing, maybe they don't look at the standings specifically, but they understand they have to get points if they're going to stay in it. That's what they're thinking about. So then why shouldn't we?
We go back to Mario Ferraro bringing up the P word, as it was called when he brought up playoffs, and said that's where this team wants to be. And to your, you know, what your to your point, that is the whole point. Like, they are wanting to get these points to be in the conversation of the playoffs, and it's the middle of December. That's where we could have only hoped they would be. I mean, I go back to our early season predictions. I had said I expect them to start out hot and then kind of peter out, but it's actually been kind of the opposite, where they started out ice cold, then kind of hit their form. And since they hit that form, yes, they have not been as streaky in terms of their winning, but they haven't let anything get away from them. And now they've got two wins in a row coming home against a Calgary team they probably want some revenge against. They're also going to be playing Dallas and Seattle. You think they can take two out of three on this homestand, maybe three out of three. I don't know. I'm not trying to predict everything. But, I mean, this Sharks team, I feel like there is a change happening in front of our eyes. We've seen this the last couple of Decembers where we said maybe this is where things change, November and December, but it always kind of petered out again. But right now, just everything about it feels different. I think that's the big takeaway.
Well, right now they have 35 points in their first wild card spot. We weren't even thinking that was going to be the possibility here as we entered this season, and they do get to come home. And whatever this team needs to find for motivation, that Calgary game, they played very bad that game, 2-0 loss.
Yeah.
They want to get one back against Dallas, where they think they probably let that game get away. Same to be said against Seattle. Whatever they need to find those inner motivations from game to game, that's great. And also, to your point, we haven't seen the long losing streaks. The first one, you know, there was a 6-game losing streak to start, and that's kind of it. At this point, last season, you were alternating lengthy losing streaks, 4 or 5 games, and then we'll win here or there. But it was mostly losing, and especially after the Blackwood trade that was around this time, the Sharks only had 2 wins in December. So you just keep coming back to this thing about the Sharks are shifting. They are changing, and they're changing right in front of us. And you can look no further to third periods. They haven't scored a whole lot, but if they're leading into that third, they still were pulling out games, results. And now, you know, they scored 4 goals in the third period. Maybe that breaks their third period woes too offensively. We can score in the third period. We are allowed to score in the third period. So they score 4, which is that tied as many as they had since the Calgary game on November 13th. So they're doing things that you don't anticipate. They're doing things that you want them to do. And yes, along the way, they make you scratch your head a little bit. They make you think, oh man, is this going to revert or sometime? Because at the end of the day, they're still a young team, or some of their key pieces are younger and still figuring it out. And that's going to be the ebbs and flows. And like everyone likes to say, development isn't linear. Winning isn't linear. And success in this league isn't linear. But on most nights, they're finding ways to be in the conversation, and they're not letting the wins get away from them, the games get away from them. And then when they do, they find I was crazy. I was like, oh, we haven't seen a really big comeback in a long time. It was more facetious at that point because they weren't scoring a whole lot of goals in the third. But man, they even prove you wrong from night to night. So I think there's a lot for anybody, fans of the team, fans of the league, fans of wanting to see competitive, you know, lower teams in the league, whatever you want to call it. I think there's a lot to be excited about for the San Jose Sharks and where this direction of this group is going. I just hope it gets rewarded at some point.
I know we got to talk about Macklin in a second here, but we got to talk about John Klingberg, because he's on a multi-game point streak. He's scoring goals. He is coming up with big plays at big moments for this team. And this is after, you know, he had really found himself in the crosshairs. The coaches even sat him down for a game. And even when he did get back in there, it was not smooth sailing. And they said, you need to be faster with your decision making. He talked about after the last win about, you know, due to the multiple hip surgeries he's had, where he's not the same athlete that he used to be, and he's figuring that out. Well, the message got through to him, because all of a sudden he's playing like a premier point producing, you know, quarterback of a power play, run the show type of defenseman. And it's fun to watch too. I mean, that move that he made, yeah, I think Sid Crosby thought there was something else happening. Like you said, he thought he was going to play it through a drop pass.
Yeah.
But still, I mean, he walked him and then set up the game-winning goal that he got it back from Macklin.
And that's a veteran play, right? That's a play that probably he's anticipating Crosby, who he's played against a lot, oh, he's going to probably play the Macklin pass.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to do something to set him up. Whereas sometimes with a younger player, a younger D-man, you don't make that play. You go back to Macklin and get poked away. I think there's going to be a lot of discourse around Klingberg for the rest of his tenure with the San Jose Sharks. And there's going to be some good times. What he's riding right now, he's playing outstanding. He's producing points-wise. But there's also going to be times where he's an older guy with two hips, and it's going to show sometimes. And that's just going to be the ups and downs of his career here as he tries to figure out who he is as a player. But, man, 7 goals this season. He's on pace now to have set a career high. And if you're saying that's the John Klingberg you're getting at the beginning of the season, you're going to take that. And I understand that there's he didn't play the greatest and he most consistent, and he's the first one to tell you. That's the other thing I really respect about him. He's the first one to tell you when he's not playing well. But at the beginning of the season, if you said, John Klingberg, we signed you for this one-year deal, he's going to have 7 goals middle of December. He's going to be up to 12 points, I believe, or something along those lines. You're going to take that. You're going to say, okay, that's good for what we signed up for. Now, yes, there's everything else that goes around with it. But if he's going to keep playing like this, he's going to be a difference maker for this young team. And, yes, he's on a one-year deal, so you don't know what that means towards the trade deadline. But either way, you want him playing well.
Macklin Celebrini watches his – I mean, I don't know what their relationship is like outside the season, but it seems like they're two very tight friends, he and Will Smith. He watches his good friend, Will Smith, go down with an injury after taking a big hit, which I did not think was a dirty hit or anything. I only saw it very briefly. I haven't seen too many replays. I didn't think much of it at the time in terms of like, oh, that was awful. But you're going to stand up for your boy when he gets hit. It's like you would do for me if producer Nick came in and drove me against the boards.
Yeah, yeah.
I would expect that type of response from you, obviously. But whatever happened there, it clearly ticked off Macklin Celebrini. And he just seemingly decided at that point, nope, I am going to lead my team back into this game and we're going to win. And that's, I mean, that's like Michael Jordan. That's like Steph Curry. That's like Sidney Crosby.
When it's you like, have one- I am the captain now.
Yes.
Maybe, or maybe not. I think so. I think, obviously, that was a spark that the team kind of rallied around when you see your best player throw hands that you're not used to seeing. He almost had Gordie Howe. If they would have called that a major, he would have had a Gordie Howe hat trick. And even if it wasn't, I do think Will was in a vulnerable spot, kind of dipped a little bit. Parker Weatherspoon came across. I covered Parker Weatherspoon actually in juniors at Tri-City Americans. Good dude back then. So I don't think he was had any ill intent there. But it's just a hockey play. It's going fast.
Yeah.
And
it's like the freak play to Bedard yesterday.
But it doesn't matter in the sense if you're Macklin Celebrini or the Sharks. One of your marquee players got hurt, and you guys have to respond. And I think also to the point of, it was happening all night. Askarov was getting run into. There was other physical. Kurashev, who also got hurt in this field. Kurashev also got hurt. He kind of goes down awkwardly, and that wasn't also a dirty play, but it was physicality from the Pittsburgh Penguins mm-hmm. that the Sharks were not really matching at that time. And I think you have Macklin and company, Tyler Toffoli, they kind of just said enough is enough. And even on the Eklund goal, I think it's a good depiction of that. They had 2 or 3 shots right in front. And Eklund comes in. Where's Eklund, right? Who comes in, spears that one?
Yes, that was the power play. Yeah, the third goal. And then it was Toffoli.
Yeah, and then Toffoli also comes flying in too. And that was just they were going to do everything they can to make this work. And I paused there for a moment because I remember a couple post games ago talking about how they got to stop trying to always make the pretty goal.
Mm-hmm.
And many of these ones coming back were not that pretty. They were the greasy goals, the getting into the middle and just second and third chances. And I hope that message isn't lost on this group because, yes, you're going to have high school guys. You got Macklin, you got Will, you got Eklund, you got Phil Kurshev, Winberg, you know, Tyler Toffoli. They can make pretty plays, but it doesn't always have to be. Make the pretty play when it's there. When it's not, simplify, get the puck on net, and then go to work or get behind your D. And I think if you could take that 20 minutes, actually, it's really like 12 minutes. 12 minutes of
when 7:33 on, yeah.
Yeah, then I hope that is messages and lessons to this group about how you can play moving forward to be successful.
Drew was saying when they were down 5-1, they need to not be such a pass-happy team. He was talking about young players coming into the league. They're so eager to pass. There's, you know, the whole idea of setting up the perfect pretty goal, like you said. And, like, sometimes you just got to go at it. Be dirty, get into those greasy spaces, make it happen. And the Sharks obviously did that, and they put themselves in a wild position to come back and win this game. But it's just, it's so absurd that they, this is why I don't bet on sports, Alan. Imagine if you had taken the Penguins and the under, and they're up 5-1, and it's like it's 6.5. You're like, oh, this is no doubter. This, and then you lose. You don't. I mean, that's why I can't do it.
You don't bet money that you want to that you're afraid to lose. You can't lose. That's that's the smart way about betting. Not that
we're
I know
broadcasters.
Anything, I'm just saying that you just like if you're gonna do it. But no, I think it is the game. Well, and Randy has seen almost every game. I haven't gone back and heard Dan's call yet, but I'm sure that's gonna be something along the lines. This is crazy. I've never seen this happen, yeah. Drew. And it is the largest third period comeback in franchise history for a regular season game. That's the beauty of sports. And I think at its simplest, that's why we fell in love with sports, is because it's the ultimate reality show. Unlike the reality shows that are all scripted or being fed what to do or the topics or the arguments, sports is not that way, contrary to all the script writing that goes on or belief. And I think that's why we love sports, is because every day you wake up, and why we love our jobs. You wake up and you're going to see, you have the possibility of seeing something you've never seen. Doesn't matter if you've been doing this for a couple years like myself, or if you're Randy, who's been doing it for 30 plus years, 35 years, been around the team and been around hockey. It's just, there's something special about sports that is the ultimate, just crapshoot.
Well, if you look at the pendulum swing the first two games of the year, you're asking yourself, how do they lose those games? And then we've had a couple of games since then where you say, how did they win that game?
Yeah.
And that to your point, that is sports. That is the wildness of it that, like you said, keeps us coming back. But the fact that it is this Sharks team doing improbable and wild things and just coming up with brilliant performances, it does, we talk about this too much, but I feel it is valid. Like back when Mark Jackson said, I have the best backcourt in the history of the NBA, and people laughed at him.
Yeah.
It's like, when we're in the Bay Area, when me and you as close to it in the weeds as we are talking about the Sharks team, people probably think we're crazy. And then they're doing stuff like this right now and their star is 19 years old. What is this going to be like when he's 25 and 26? I mean, I don't want to get ahead of myself because we can't foresee the future, but there is a symmetry to where the Warriors were and what they became.
Yeah. And in the Bay Area, you see all the young teams and where they go history wise. And yeah, you got Steph and Clay, you got Mac and Will, and the pipeline for the Sharks is deep. It's one of those things where I love national media when you're in consuming it, because you get a picture of what everyone from around the league feels about the San Jose Sharks or the players within. And all of it's been pretty positive overall about Macklin Celebrini and where the Sharks are headed. But, you know, you listen to some of them about, oh, the Sharks are not a good team. They don't have the makeup to be a good team. They're going to come back to earth. And maybe that's the case. But how many times in sports have we seen not the greatest, most talented team do something special? It's a team that bonds well. It's a team that has the right complementary pieces. And I think on a couple of those levels, the Sharks do. Do I think they could use a couple more talented guys? Sure. But overall, their chemistry in their dressing room is outstanding. They're believing in one another. They're standing up for one another. You also see across the league, if something, a hit like that on Will Smith happens, the teams that aren't connected or they're not bonded or don't have that right culture, they're not stepping up there. And so I think that's something you can't always quantify. And goes back to our very first topic. You can't quantify team chemistry and the belief and love you have in your teammate, because I think that goes a long way. And so, yeah, maybe the national media doesn't see Sharks the way that we do, and because we're looking at it every single night. But I think they're going to start. And I think there's going to be a change in attitude, because also to what Klingberg said, players are only the player they are for a certain amount of time. Some guys outgrow who they were, and maybe they'd be developing a different player than they were a couple years ago, or they, you know, regress. There's always the regression too. But I also think, like Colin Graf, he's a difference maker on this team because he's so versatile, could play up and down the lineup, PK guy. And national media don't know a whole lot about Graf, or, you know, and Gaudette's been good. Jeff Skinner's been playing with an edge. And so you think, oh, man, these guys were casts off somewhere else. But that doesn't mean they're not the right piece for the San Jose Sharks at this moment in time. And so far, right now, without limited expectations, they're playing better than the expectations that were set for them to begin this season.
As a final one for you, they're down two top-line wingers. Do you think Graf and Skinner move up and they bring up a Cardwell, a Giles, and Ostapchuk? Or do you think it's more likely that we see Misa and see Cherny and see Musty come in? Because I honestly don't know, because I know that I think Mike Greer and his organization have done a really good job of bringing up like for like when they've had to deal with injuries. That's why we've seen people have said, oh, now they're going to bring up Musty or Chernyshov or whoever it's going to be. And it's been Cardwell. It's been Ostapchuk. It has been Giles. It has been, who's the most recent? Regenda is another one. They brought up like for likes, third and fourth line guys. But now, I mean, I don't know the extent of Will Smith's injury, but it did not look good.
I think
I mean, Kurashev too.
Yeah, I think extent of the injury, length he's going to be out, is an important one. Because I also think with the guy like Chernyshov or Musty, you don't want to bring him up for a couple games. Right, like two or three games, and then they're going to go back. I think you bring him up and give him, you know, five games. Let him get some feel. So, if it's a more serious injury, I would love to see Chernyshov or Quinton Musty get a shot to play.
And Misa's still out.
Macklin celebrate. Yes, Michael Misa is out there. He hasn't reported to Team Canada, World Junior Team Canada camp yet. He's nursing an injury. I believe it's the same injury that he had earlier in this year. Don't quote me on that. But I would think the way that Chernyshov and Musty are playing, they're a little bit older. They're a little bit bigger, too. I think those would be the guys I would reach to if this is going to be an extended period where you're not going to have one of your most prolific offensive players and you need that back. And Quinton Musty plays a similar game to Will Smith that we've seen in with the Barracuda this year. He's kind of a playmaker with some sniping ability, just like Will Smith. Chernyshov, big body. He's working on his defense, as Nolia said. He's an absolute sniper. So, man, I would love to see those guys get a run. I think they were going to get games no matter what this season. I think they were going to get games. And I just hope that they do. If this is an extended period, I let's send the excitement too, because I also think you're in the business of entertainment, selling tickets. Those guys at least carry over some excitement, like, oh, okay, here's our next prospect guy. Let's bring those guys in. It's going to bring the tank some more buzz as well. I will say, I just hope that, you know, the Sharks have a plan. Mike Greer's had a plan. It's worked a lot so far. But the plan's got to change. If this team keeps playing like this, I don't think the plan was playoffs this year.
No.
I think if you asked him to a man, do you think that his team, the way that it's constructed, will make the playoffs? I don't know if he'd say yes. But, man, they're pushing. And so I hope they get rewarded. The group gets rewarded at some point. And I also think, like, you need to adjust. You didn't also think that Will Smith is, you know, going to get injured. So who's the next best person to do to fill that role? I don't know. Macklin Celebrini seems to be able to bring the best out of guys around him, which is no stranger. I also think having Macklin Celebrini probably takes a little pressure off you if you're coming up and making your NHL debut and you don't feel like you have to drive the line, so to speak. So it'll be interesting. Don't get me excited. I would love to see Chernyshov, Musty come up. Philip Bisted is a center, so probably not him, but he's been playing well too, and I would love to see him get a Sharks debut at some point down the line. Hopefully, though, it's like the Jeff Skinner situation where we think it's really bad and then come back and it's like, oh, it's just a week-to-week type thing and he'll be back. But it did not look good for Will Smith. Philip Kurashev, it didn't look good, but didn't look as bad.
Didn't look awful, yeah. That's the difference. Yeah, again, they got their two top-line wingers taken out of the game by injury, and they come back and win.
Just maybe you keep an eye on the Barracuda roster here over the next Monday. Who's in the starting lineup?
I know. Well, they play tonight. I mean, what time is it right now? They're about to start at 5, so we'll be paying attention. 3:53 right now. So
yeah, we'll have to check who's on out there if they run the same group out there, and maybe that'll give you some indication. But, yeah, keep an eye on the Barracuda, not only because of that, but also they're playing really well.
Yeah, they are playing really well, coming off in a big win last night. Well, Alan, Tuesday night, the Sharks are at it again, taking on Calgary, looking for a little bit of revenge. Then they take on Dallas and Seattle before they go to Vegas, then the Christmas break, and then Vancouver. It's December 13th. They're in the playoff conversation. They are the top wildcard team. And the longer they stay in the playoff conversation, the longer they stay in the playoff conversation. I'll let you go, man. All right, we'll see you soon.
All right, I'm just checking the Barracuda, Ross. I'll talk to you later.
And update you on the Barracuda. They did win 4-3 last night over Dallas to take both of the games in that two-game series. But we are just about out of time. The San Jose Sharks are back at it. Coming up on Tuesday night, they are hosting Calgary, 7 o'clock start time, 6:30 pregame, right here on the Sharks Audio Network. Then it's Dallas on the 18th, Seattle on the 20th, and then they visit Vegas on the 23rd. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey, signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yend.